The Franklin Institute supports WHYY. Presenting Vatican Splendors, featuring 2,000 years of Vatican history and a collection of historical and religious objects many never before on display to the public. From the sights and sounds of the Grand Basilica to a touchable cast of the hand of St. John Paul II, it's an opportunity to experience the grandeur of the Vatican. Open September 19th, only at the Franklin Institute. Tickets at fi.edu.
After 3 years of planning, the World Meeting of Families is officially underway. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. The Vatican-sponsored conference is drawing 20,000 attendees from more than 100 countries to Philadelphia. It's also the reason for Pope Francis's first visit to the United States. WHYY's Katie Culinary was on hand for the opening ceremony.
The ceremony began with a children's choir singing a hymn written especially for this year's World Meeting of Families. The Vatican chose Philadelphia to host the gathering 3 years ago, as the local archdiocese was still reeling from a clergy sex abuse scandal and $17 million budget shortfall. But the singular emotion among those gathered at the Pennsylvania Convention Center was joy. Mayor Michael Nutter welcomed the attendees.
What we've been working on and thinking about and praying for is now finally here. It's game time in Philadelphia. We're ready to go.
People in the crowd sang and waved flags from their home countries, like Imelda Madondo and Sylvia Dury, who traveled 13 hours from Zimbabwe to be here. Madondo says they've gotten a warm welcome.
People are very loving in Philadelphia. Oh, that Pope's bicycle. Let's go. That Pope's bicycle.
A custom-built Breezer bicycle with a chain guard in the shape of an angel's wing was one of the two gifts for Pope Francis presented by Mayor Nutter during the ceremony. The city will also give the Pope a gold-rimmed Lennox bowl with images of Independence Hall and St. Peter's Basilica. Katie Culinary, WHYY News.
At the 11th hour, the city of Philadelphia has a contract with the World Meeting of Families. The agreement stipulates the city will be reimbursed for costs incurred by hosting the event. The mayor's chief of staff, Everett Gillison, says they have estimates of just how much it'll cost for the city services provided during the almost week-long event and papal mass on the parkway.
We're a big city. We do big things. This is what comes along with being a big city, and we are a great city, and that's why we're really enjoying this happening.
It's estimated the World Meeting will owe the city some $12 million to cover costs ranging from police and fire to sanitation services. The city is not charging the meeting for the cost of paying non-essential employees getting a few days off while city offices are closed. A Montgomery County Catholic school teacher fired for being in a same-sex marriage has been invited to a White House reception for the Pope, as WHYY's Laura Benshoff reports.
Margie Winters and her wife, Andrea Vittori, are pretty excited about their tickets to the White House.
I'm ecstatic. Andrea and I are so excited about going, and we believe that President Obama's invitation is wonderful and symbolic.
They'll be joining a guest list that includes a number of LGBTQI activists. Winters became a prominent figure in that community after she was let go from her posts as the director of religious education at Waldron Mercy Academy in Lower Merion. After 8 years at the school, she was fired when news of her same-sex marriage became more widely known. Philadelphia's Archbishop Charles Chaput has repeatedly denied any involvement in the firing. Chaput also says neither he nor the Vatican have a say in the White House guest list.
Who the president decides to invite to the White House is up to him, and I don't think the Holy Father makes comments on those kind of things.
What the Holy Father will say at the Thursday event is anyone's guess, but Winters is hoping he'll be open to the stories of marginalized Catholics. After the Pope's visit, she'll return to lobbying for change within the Catholic Church, specifically for a moratorium on firing gay members of Catholic institutions. For WHYY, I'm Laura Benshoff.
Pope Francis's visit is a joy for some, an inconvenience for others. For still others, it's a painful reminder of the past sins of the Catholic Church. WHYY's Kevin McCrory offers this profile of a South Jersey father who lost his son to clergy sexual abuse.
Arthur Basilis Jr. is a man ravaged with grief. Almost 10 years after his son died from a drug overdose linked to his abuse by two Franciscan clergymen in Northeast Philadelphia, Basilis and his family are overcome by the weight of his absence.
Here's some photos of my son. This is his ashes. This is why I'm in a self-imposed exile. I don't want to go nowhere. Most of the time I spend in here. And we light a candle every night for Arthur.
Walking through the Basilis house in suburban South Jersey is like walking through a monument to their lost son, Arthur Basilis III. Pictures of him are everywhere. His urn sits on a table at the entrance to the living room. His bedroom, covered with sports memorabilia, is exactly the way he left it.
Nothing's changed. Same sheet, same bedspread. Everything is the same.
Basilis Jr., a retired Philadelphia detective, grew up Catholic in South Philadelphia. He has a tattoo of his son's face on his left forearm. Some of his son's ashes rest in a bracelet on his right wrist. All these years later, the pain hasn't dulled. Basilis often wakes up suddenly in the middle of the night, gasping for breath. Sometimes, when he goes jogging, seemingly out of nowhere, he bursts into tears. His wife and his daughter, he says, are no better.
Do I cry a lot? Yeah, most of the time.
Were you always an emotional person?
No. Emotional? Nah, not at all. But this hit home.
In 1994, Arthur Basilis III was a sophomore at Archbishop Ryan High School in Northeast Philadelphia. A gifted football player with a charming smile, he started gaining the attention of the school's principal, Father Charles Newman. The pair became close, at first innocently, but church officials have now acknowledged Newman began sexually abusing the teen. The priest invited him into the Franciscan residence next to the school and first supplied him with alcohol, then weed, then coke and Oxycontin, all to numb him to the abuse. Later, Brother Regis Howitz, a maintenance worker at the school, joined in as well. In exchange, Father Newman fixed Arthur's declining grades and exempted him from summer school. As Arthur's drug habit became an addiction, Newman helped him keep it up by siphoning money out of the school's coffers, an activity that continued well after Arthur graduated. All the while, his parents were in the dark. They had their suspicions about Newman, but they trusted the church.
Newman came to my house and blessed my house when I moved to Jersey. Newman heard my confessions on a regular basis. I would get communion from Newman at the 6:30 Mass. All the while, he was molesting my son.
Basilis didn't begin to find out the truth until 2004, when Arthur, who was by then struggling with a heroin addiction, gave his parents a letter.
This is the one, I believe.
Which here, his father reads.
He is the one who started me drinking and gave me the money to buy drugs so he can have his way with me. It makes me sick to think about it. You always thought I liked Father Charles. The truth is I hate him. And I used him for what he did to me. I thought at 17, I knew everything. Yeah, right? The truth is I know nothing. He always told me that if I told anyone, he would kill himself.
Father Newman eventually resigned for stealing nearly $1 million from Archbishop Ryan High School and his Franciscan order, later serving 4 years in prison for the crime. But by the time the Basilis family was ready to file their charges, the statute of limitations for sexual abuse had expired. By 2006, after battling his heroin addiction for years, Arthur was found dead of an overdose in Camden. He was 28 and left behind a young son.
I seen him the night that he went out, laying on the bed. I said, "How you doing, Dad? You okay?" He said, "Yeah." That was it.
Investigations by the Philadelphia Archdiocese and the Franciscan Order have since found Arthur's claims against Newman and Howitz to be credible, and both clergymen have been restricted to non-public ministry. But they are supervised only by religious superiors, not the criminal justice system.
They don't have a bracelet on, okay? So these guys can wander around anywhere they want. Right now, as we talk, they could be grooming another victim.
Changes to Pennsylvania law that were made too late for Arthur now give victims born after 2002 until age 50 to press for criminal charges and until age 30 to file civilly. But Basilis and other victim advocates say those reforms do not go far enough. They've pushed to completely remove any statute of limitations for childhood sexual abuse in Pennsylvania. They also want past victims to have a 2-year window in order to file civil charges against their alleged abusers. Sister Maureen Paul Turlish helped achieve those goals in Delaware. She's on the board of Voice of the Faithful, a group of Catholics that formed in reaction to the clergy abuse scandal.
The sexual abuse of a child is soul murder and should have the same kinds of laws covering it as murder.
Pennsylvania's Catholic leaders, led by Philadelphia Archbishop Charles Chaput, have successfully lobbied against those changes. Chaput says the existing regulations are fair. He also criticizes the window legislation because he says there's potential for stale evidence. He believes that it will invite money-hungry lawyers to exploit the situation. 2 years after Delaware amended its laws, the Diocese of Wilmington filed for bankruptcy. It has been named in more than 175 lawsuits. But to Arthur Basilis, his fight has nothing to do with money. He sees the church's current position as a continuation of what was documented in 2 Philadelphia grand jury reports, that church leaders systematically place their own organizational and financial self-interests ahead of the needs and safety of sex abuse victims.
You know, this all boils down to one word, truth. I'm trying to expose it. They're trying to hide it.
Many advocates are hoping Pope Francis will make a statement about clergy abuse while in Philadelphia, or even meet with abuse victims. But the subject is not in the World Meeting of Families official schedule, and Arthur Basilis will not be sticking around to see if it arises.
I'm going away, going to the islands for a couple of days just to get away from this, all this nonsense.
When he returns, he promises to keep fighting in his son's name. For WHYY News, I'm Kevin McCrory.
Turning to this evening's headlines, the judge overseeing the corruption case against Shaka Fatah denies federal prosecutors' request to keep the Philadelphia congressman from introducing evidence of good deeds performed during his career to the jury. This according to the Legal Intelligencer. Assistant U.S. Attorney Paul Gray argued that statements about Fatah's background made to the press by the congressman and his attorneys were an indicator that Fatah would attempt to tout his public service record to the jury as a way to counter the charges against him. Fatah was indicted in July for allegedly taking bribes, using federal grant money to repay a campaign loan, and tapping campaign funds to pay off his son's student loan debt. The Office of Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane is trying to determine how to comply with a state Supreme Court order to suspend her law license after criminal charges were filed against her. The order comes at the same time the office prepares to release thousands of pornographic emails it says were exchanged by those in government and law enforcement. The court notified Kane today that her suspension takes effect October 21st. 70 degrees, cloudy skies on Independence Mall. It's 6:19. You're listening to NewsWorks Tonight on WHYY. Gradually clearing skies overnight, falling back to 58 degrees. Sunny days tomorrow and Thursday, high both days around 80. Clouding up on Friday, high 76 degrees. To the weekend, remaining overcast on Saturday, high 73. Ahead to Sunday, mostly cloudy. There's a 30% chance of showers, high 72 degrees. This is WHYY. Still ahead.
I, for one, am very excited. I think Pope Francis is the best thing to come out of Argentina since the musical Evita. Don't cry for me, Argentina. You know, I love that song.
Patsy's back when NewsWorks Tonight continues on WHYY.
The Franklin Institute supports WHYY, presenting Vatican Splendors, featuring 2,000 years of Vatican history and a collection of historical and religious objects many never before on display to the public. From the sights and sounds of the Grand Basilica to a touchable cast of the hand of St. John Paul II, it's an opportunity to experience the grandeur of the Vatican. Open September 19th, only at the Franklin Institute. Tickets at fi.edu.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. Yannick Nézet-Séguin and the Philadelphia Orchestra begin the new season with a 75th anniversary tribute to Disney's Fantasia, Toccata and Fugue, The Nutcracker, and The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Concert-only tickets at philorc.org or at 215-893-1999. Wednesday, September 30th at the Kimmel Center, the new season begins, opening night with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Long before the World Meeting of Families was planned or Pope Francis became the pontiff, the local documentary filmmaking crew led by Sam Katz began work on a history of Catholicism in Philadelphia. The result is a feature-length documentary called Urban Trinity. It debuts tonight, just as the Catholic world focuses on Philadelphia. WHYY's Dave Davies has seen the film and learned a lot he didn't know.
Urban Trinity opens with the familiar voice of Chris Matthews, who grew up in Philadelphia.
We really lived in a Catholic world growing up. I mean, all our friends were Catholic. I just assumed that was the world we lived in, novenas and going to St. Stephen's on Broad Street. The whole works, some big crowds at Mass.
But even people who grew up Catholic in Philadelphia may not realize the full measure of the faith's impact on the city and its history.
Catholicism in America is largely urban.
Sam Katz is the film's executive producer.
And really, the most iconic Catholic city in America is Philadelphia. We not only have the largest parochial school system, we have the most Catholic higher education institutions in any diocese in America, and we had, for a long time, the most powerful clergy.
An example, Cardinal Dennis Dougherty, who led the Philadelphia Archdiocese for nearly three decades in the first half of the 20th century. In the early 30s, when movies became popular among the city's working class, Dougherty didn't like what they were seeing on the screen.
Hollywood studio men love the sinful city. It's their favorite setting for vice, for adventure, crime, and it's the source of their largest audience.
Urban Trinity director Andrew Ferret says Dougherty decided he had to protect his flock from this assault on their morals.
And so he announces from the pulpit, he writes a letter and tells every priest in Philadelphia to read it from the pulpit that no Catholic in Philadelphia can go see a movie, any movie, and movie attendance in the city plummets.
One estimate says 40% of the city's theaters closed. The film also traces the origin of many Catholic institutions to the Bible or nativist riots in 1844, when Protestants attacked Catholics in part because of their resistance to using the King James Bible.
From Independence Hall, the Protestant mob rampages north to Catholic Kensington, intent on destruction.
Film director Andrew Ferret says churches were burned and dozens were killed.
So they formed a cocoon, a protective shell, in a way, where they could practice their religion, have their hospitals, universities, schools, and churches, all separate from the intolerant Protestant world.
The 87-minute documentary will be shown on Channel 6 in three chapters, the first two tonight at 7 and 7:30, and the final one at midnight Sunday, following the Pope's departure from the city. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
On the chance you haven't heard enough opinion on the Pope's visit, we offer Patsy, an occasional guest on our show. She's the alter ego of 1812 Productions founder Jen Childs. Patsy lives at 7th and Shunk Streets in South Philly, where she hosts the show The View from My Stoop. So, for another unvarnished and unsolicited opinion, here's Patsy.
I, for one, am very excited. I think Pope Francis is the best thing to come out of Argentina since the musical Evita. Don't cry for me, Argentina. You know, I love that song. Anyway, for the past month, my mailbox has been absolutely jam-packed with letters all asking the same question. What do I need to do to prepare for the arrival of the Pope? Well, that is an excellent question, because as we've seen, He does not behave like many other popes behave. He's supposed to live in a palace. He lives in an apartment. He's supposed to ride in a limousine. He drives a Ford Focus. You never know when this pope is going to go rogue. He may decide to explore the city on his own. So, if you happen to run into the pope this weekend, here are a few do's and don'ts of papal etiquette. Do. Decorate your hands so that if the pope is walking along and needs a drink of water, he will know that your row home is a place of welcome. You can put a pennant in your window. Better yet, a statue of the pope in your front window. There's the cardboard pope, there's the ceramic pope, there's the stuffed pope. I myself am partial to the bobblehead pope. Every morning I look at mine and I say, Pope Francis, am I forgiven? And he always says, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Don't ask him to turn your water ice into wine or to feed your 5,000 friends with 3 tasty cakes and a pretzel. That wasn't the pope. That was the other guy. Do stock up on groceries. When I heard that the city of Philadelphia was going to close roads and create a Pope zone, I went right out and started buying some more canned goods at the Acme. This city is going to get crazier than it does when we get 1 inch of snow, or as we call it in South Philadelphia, a blizzard. Don't be discouraged. If you should not happen to run into the Pope, never fear. With all the merchandise that they are putting out right now, you can have a little piece of the Pope in every room of your house. Not only are there bobbleheads and pennants, but there's sweatshirts and buttons and t-shirts and visors and air fresheners and toilet seats and pillowcases. There's even, in the morning for your breakfast, there's even Pope toast. There he is, right there on your breakfast. And on the other side of the bread, it says peace and love. Or maybe it says don't pork here. I can't tell. Anyway, happy Pope Weekend, hon. Every
time it rains. That's our occasional guest, Patsy, on Getting Ready for the Pope. Patsy is the creation of 1812 Productions founder Jen Childs. You can hear more advice on the Papal Weekend from Patsy and others at our website, whyy.org/popeinphilly. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben Yaakov and Kimberly Haas. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at newsworks.org. Are you staying put for the Pope? Join us tomorrow for bicycling advice during the big weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight. You must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com. Proudly supporting WHYY is New Jersey's Clean Energy Program, educating businesses, local governments, schools, and residents how to integrate energy-efficient and renewable technologies into their new construction projects, existing building upgrades, and new equipment installation. More information about modernizing facilities with assistance from New Jersey's Clean Energy Program at njcleanenergy.com/WHYY.